Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our show. A little bit later than normal, but I'm Rudolf Hacker, and I'm back this week with a bionic arm and a strange-sounding voice due to the medicines, which I reckon could give Flossie a run for her money when wielding a frying pan. We'll talk about that later, but for now, I am joined in our socially distanced studio with what I can only describe as a person.
Good evening, Rudolf. Nice to have you back with us. Once more, we've got someone else to blame when things go wrong, as they just did. Since you've been away for so long, it'll probably help if we reintroduce ourselves. Let's go round the table. I'm Harry Balzac, and I look after all of your money. Seated on my left is...
Wilma Fingerdew. I'm the one with the sultry voice and the inability to read without giggling. The chair to my left is empty. Oh, no. Sorry. Can you sit up a bit so I can see you over the desk?
Sorry. I'm the apology officer, and I'm sorry that I forgot my booster cushion. To my left is...
Norma Snookers. I'm the sensible one and the keeper of the sacred pan. Frying, that is, not bed. And to my left, indeed to the left of just about everyone, is the last member of our crew this week.
She said member. Ow! I'm Lou Snockers, and I heal extremely slowly.
Nope, none of you seem familiar. Let's just get on with things, and maybe it'll come back to me. What does this button do? I say, mysterious shareholder speculation as Rochester foiled.
Investigative journalism, or just a load of old pudding?
FTM Mustang feels the painite.
Rats in the Kitchener. This time they need you.
Nerf buffs miffed as buff buffs chuffed.
Can rain goes all blain as recovery shenanigans cause panic.
All this expansion and retreating, I'm feeling a little dizzy.
And I'm all in a whirl of this week's community news.
After the announcement last week that Imperial Moustache Twirler and former soon-to-be brother-in-law to the blue-haired lady, Jordan Rochester, was attempting to eat a space cow at one sitting with sauce, it appears that his efforts have been foiled by a mysterious shareholder. Lacon Spaceway's emergency general meeting was astounded to find that just one person held enough shares to prevent Core Dynamics turning the trucker-loved truck manufacturer into a piece of badge engineering. The name of the shareholder was kept anonymous for fear of reprisals that involve falling downstairs then exploding and accidentally stabbing himself 34 times with an Imperial letter opener. But we've got a good idea as to who it is, as his Stetson and cowhide boots, complete with Thargoid-shaped spurs, are easily recognisable the galaxy over. As Hatton's favourite ship manufacturer, Lacon are, at least for the time being, still in safe hands and not in danger of being consigned to distant memory. There are rumours that their fortunes may soon be about to be turned around with the launch of new models. The model Type 9 is available before Christmas at all good toy stores and includes realistic flashing lights, smashable canopy, and batteries not included. Of course, due to scalpers on the day of release, all of them were marked as sold out and editions were being retailed for 1 million credits over on Galbay. It appears that only internet streamers, and oddly the mad monks of Van Manen, have managed to get their hands on these much sought-after gifts. But they promptly mashed two sets together and created a panther clipper with theirs, on display right now in the foyer of O'Connor Station. Lacon Spaceways, The only toys in the galaxy with 10 free shares in the company and a contract that states you aren't Jordan Rochester, aren't representing Jordan Rochester, and commit never to sell to anyone calling themselves Jordan Rochester, even if he promises to give you a pot of black 9.0 paint, darker even than the wax he uses on his twirly moustaches.
As you know, here at Hutton Orbital, we're suckers for a bit of nostalgia. Imagine our surprise and delight when Canon Interstellar announced that everyone's favourite green dog and pink cat were getting back together. But who would do the narration? We imagine that we hear, you ask. After all, Richard Briers is no longer with us. Hang on, that can't be right. Just a second. Sorry about that. No idea how that early draft got left in. Canon Interstellar, in July of this year, determined that two Class 3 gas giants in the KOI-413 system were in essentially the same orbit. Yeah, that's better. This is the right article. And checking when they will be in conjunction, they have calculated that after playing hard to get on two previous occasions, the two bodies will lock in a feverish embrace on December the 6th. Yes, that's this Sunday. This cannon leg dogging event involves watching the two bodies that they have named Rhubarb and Custard, which I think tells you more about the members of Cannon than it does anything about space science, as their surfaces entwine at 17:29:46. A coming together of large bodies full of hot air on a regular basis? That reminds us of something not that far from home here at the radio station. Here at Hutton, we do not condone such voyeuristic events. We will be at home, watching Snogs of Praise.
Never has the expression, a fool and his money are soon parted, been better illustrated than by Commander FTM Mustang, when he inadvertently dabbled in the mineral futures market recently. Oblivious to the unmistakable storm clouds gathering over mining operations in the asteroid belts, the hapless commander set up an open buy order for, you guessed it, pay night. The first that FTM Mustang knew of his self-administered drubbing was when he was awakened to the sound of cash registers making their merry ka-ching sound, and commanders leaving arm in arm singing, we're in the money. After wandering around his now depleted vaults, staring at the empty shelves where once stood columns of credits in neat piles, he trudged out to the front of his shop and with a mighty sigh, pulled down the shutters. The final account showed that he was forced to sell 2,000 tonnes of unwanted painite at over 500,000 credits per tonne loss. He claims that his investment advisor is upset by this turn of events, but we know that anyone who made this kind of mistake does not have such a guide, and that this is just posturing. Commander FTM Mustang is not bitter, however, and has vowed to make up the difference and be back in the game as soon as possible. We wish him the best. And so, if you're passing the docking bay and a rather shabby-looking man accompanied by a toy Momus Bog Spaniel on a piece of string holds out a piece of cardboard with the message, please help, trying to get back to my fleet carrier. Give generously.
It isn't often that Hutton has exclusive news. With Labour Radio and Gownet pinching all the good stories earlier in the week, Super Cruise News and that Arthur chap running spoilers immediately before, and in some cases right through our show, and of course lots of willy-waving by people who have top-secret access to the Pilots' Federation, intimating that they have intimate knowledge of things that are coming soon. But this week, we've got a galactic exclusive, courtesy of the Fuel Rats. Coming up in a moment, Valia Song, Fuel Rat Extraordinaire, will be bringing us details of exactly how the Fuel Rats will be celebrating their 100,000th rescue, and will join us after the news for a chat. Now, don't worry, they've only just passed 90,000. But judging by the number of rescues they've had to do in the starter systems in the last week, the big number will be approaching very soon. We don't know yet what the celebration will involve, but we've been asked to bring some crayons, an apron, some glitter, scissors with rounded ends, and one of those sticks of non-toxic glue. Oh, and a responsible adult. Which is why Flossie's supervising the entire thing. After all, last time we had to get Nurse Wyeth to extract the crayons with a pair of forceps after Deadmeat got hold of them. Our thanks go out to all Fuel Rats, both full and part-time, for their selfless dedication in getting so many pilots out of a sticky mess. We will, of course, be asking their representative what the record is for rescues performed on a single pilot, and, of course, who their top rat is since they started. However, get your sticky back plastic and toilet roll inners ready, as we reckon the announcement is going to be crafty. And here is Aurelia's song, To Reveal All. Those Nordic types will do that at a drop of a hat, you know.
100,000 rescued commanders. Commanders sitting stranded out in the black, about to suffocate in loneliness under the cold light of the stars. Until a rat pops in and shoots cans of fuel, liquid of life and warmth. These are the fuel rats, and they're about to hit that incredible number of 100,000 rescues. To prepare for that event, we need your poster. Send your 100,000 rescue poster to the Fuel Rats Artist Collective. The lucky winner receives a real-world HOTAS by Frontier. Second and third get community packs. Submissions close either at the 24th of December or as soon as we hit 100K. The Board of Art Rats will then cast their votes. Read more at contest.fuelratart.org. We are eagerly awaiting your submission. See you on the Black, Commander. This is Aurelius Song, Freck Curator, for the Fuel Rats Artist Collective, signing off.
With all the upheaval caused by the changes in galactic market prices for mined and traded goods over the last week, there were bound to be nerf buffs coming out of the woodwork claiming that all of this was a dastardly plot by them to stamp their idea of balance on the galaxy. The mysterious them are claimed to be the powers behind the galaxy, the shadowy figures that control your everyday lives and are reported to be behind such calamities as not allowing multi-crew in SRVs despite there being enough room for two, and elephant butt leather. Regulators have been at pains to point out that previous high price for pay nights and the like have caused extreme hardship throughout the galaxy, leaving stations, systems and factions impoverished and simply lining the pockets of super uber corporations as brewer. Their price capping reflects a more realistic situation where systems only buy what they can afford and at far more reasonable prices. During their investigation, and in an effort to encourage more pilots to get out there and become crime fighters, complete with spandex flight suits and eye masks that make the user utterly unrecognisable, they've authorised an increase in bounty payouts at over 400%. Yes, the million credit Anaconda bounty is now an achievable target for most commanders out there, and even the kind of foolish sidewinder that threatens to boil you up is now worth more than your average void opal. Mission givers have also been given permission to extend this bounteous bounty to their boards, offering missions ranging into tens of millions for hunting down Kamori evildoers and doing away with them with extreme prejudice. Of course, the Forumites have been this confused since left-wing commentators realised Gillian Anderson was cast as Margaret Thatcher and had to cut off their own right hands in disgust. When is a nerf not a nerf? When it becomes a jolly good buffing.
This radio station has been inundated with messages from well-wishers, blithering idiots blaming them for making them go out walking and then falling over and going smash, and, of course, inquiries as to the ongoing recovery of Commander Kinrain, driver of the Banter Bus and custodian of Hilpasee. As you may recall, he was set upon by forces unknown, Imperial saboteurs, and clobbered about the noggin. Our correspondent from orbiting medical platform St. Rampage the Accidentals, rest home for broken truckers, has been keeping us up to date with Kinraid's recovery. Our most recent report is that he has been confined to quarters after an incident. Commander Kinraid, never one to do things by halves, has been teaching himself the kind of skills that are most often seen being exhibited by TV magicians in stunts designed to amaze and bamboozle the viewer. And when they go wrong, at least qualify for the 100 credit prize on Truckers Do the Stupidest Things. Having been given strict instructions that due to a faulty landing gear and gimbals on his right hand side, that he was in no uncertain terms not to attempt docking, undocking or any flight manoeuvres without the aid of a crane and a couple of burly orderlies, Kinraid has taken to changing docking pads whilst their backs were turned, leaping from chair to bed and bed to cubicle 3 without being spotted. After the first few attempts left the nursing team confused as he apparently teleported between locations, they fitted him with a personal Hutton helper to help him work out what was going on. At the most recent attempt, alarms were activated and the nursing team rushed to his cubicle where he was sitting, quite innocently, in bed with a huge grin on his face. Of course, they'd left him in his chair. Cue to very angry medical staff who have now gone to find some extra strong strapping with padlocks on it to lock him down in bed until such time as his landing gear starts working properly again. Oh, and he sends his love to all the Hutton truckers out there, and as with any prisoner, has vowed to continue his daily escape attempts.
I've been really busy out exploring for the going for gold thingy, and as I didn't have time to repair it after doing the Bicky Ball run, that's kind of a tricky enterprise in my ship. And then I have to cook for Norma because she's, well, a bit of a slave driver if I'm honest. Ow! And then I snuck off down to the Hutton Games Room and I got a bit carried away shooting criminals in 1980s Chicago, and time sort of crept up on me and... Well, I know we expanded and then lost the war to retreat straight away. Is that any good? I mean, it's easy for Hanky. Either Tyr is in election or pending election, and apart from that, he only has to notice if a system's dying from hideous disease outbreak. I mean, people do tend to faint when he approaches them anyway, so that does take a bit of checking, but it's not like he has to do anything, is it? Oh. Ah, thank you, Alvin. This just in from his fluffiness himself. Oh, hang on. Snoz hasn't translated it yet. Bear with me. Testicles. Torn scrote. I can't say those. Okay. We have four systems above 60% and rising. We've just been through this. Please sort the situation out forthwith, or you'll find teeth marks on your nether regions. I think that's what he means. You've dropped the ball in Narensis. We're dropping and on the verge of a conflict, so get some serious boosting done there. Basically, do in Narensis what you've been doing in LP532-81, Van Marnen Star, PSPF-LF2, and Leuten 145-141, and vice versa. And if you can go back to giving me my previous food as the new stuff is giving me wind and Snoz keeps passing out. Tyr is in election, by the way, this week. Over to Norma.
Here are the updates for events organised by you, the community. Remember that we're always happy to publicise events and to keep people up to date with how they're going, so just get in touch if you'd like us to do that, especially if you have any Christmas or New Year events coming up. Expedition Mercury's Wings is continuing its journey from Pamesh, all the way to the far side of the galaxy. Apparently, it's all been going splendidly. So far, nothing requiring the services of the Apology Officer, other than the destruction of a few fighters after over-enthusiastic fighter races, but we suspect that several commanders may have stocked up on Harma Silver Serum before setting off, as Commander Yannick reports that a group has started singing sea shanties at expedition meetups, keeping at least one old Earth naval tradition alive. They are currently at Waypoint 3, the Dragon's Head Nebula, Blay Ices ZA G4. It's still not too late to join in. You can find them on the ADSM website under Expeditions. Details at bit.ly/Mercury's Wings, included their Discord link. Christmas Carriers Convoy 5, the first Christmas convoy with carriers in conjunction with delivering presents to Colonia in time for the annual festivities. They set off on Saturday 28th of November, but Commander Belwyn Darkstar tells me that he's heard absolutely nothing from any truckers yet. Is everybody tied up with going for gold too, perhaps? The captain of the fleet carrier, the Cosmic Parrot, is feeling rather lonely. Tonight he's in Gandharvi, Caravanserai Spaceport. That's tonight, US Central Time. If you're not striving for exploration glory and you fancy working your assisted passage to Colonia before the pirate gets too far away, details of the goods that are being taken on the voyage are in ADSM, and we've created a short link to make it easy to find. That's bit.ly/XmasConvoy5. And that's all for this week. Flossie will be along later to give us details of CG News.
And finally, a replacement bus service will be in operation between Hatton Space and the Bubble. Passengers are kindly requested to board the Forksake Hanky in plenty of time. Tickets will be valid for return journeys for anyone that still has tickets for the Cloud Atlas. Your pilot will be one of the Hanky clones, and the service is not stopping en route to the destination. It will be departing from Barnard's Star at 7 a.m. Galactic Time on the 5th of December and arriving at Tyr approximately 11 p.m. on the same day, maybe 2 a.m. if the Hanky stops for a wee. Facilities aboard available are a shipyard, a lounge, a bar, a canteen, a gift shop, the gym, another canteen, a restaurant, takeaway, and, of course, a delivery service. Any donations of low-temperature diamonds, tritium, and void opals are greatly appreciated. The return trip will be leaving at 7 a.m. Galactic Time on the 7th of December. And please remember not to distract the driver if you want to arrive in one piece.